Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
That's right. It's that riot show coming at you again, semi-live from our beautiful Brooklyn studios. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
And Judo Larry M, how you feeling today?
I am feeling very large.
Large?
Large and in charge.
Are you feeling large in the cock area?
Oh, I'm always large in that area.
Nice, nice.
I'm tall in the saddle.
Nice. Oh, shit. Hey, oh, wow. Hey, what was that? Beep.
Beep.
All right. We'll just let people guess at what that beep may have been.
Just tall in the salad, buddy.
Yep, there you go. Much better this time around, Judo Larry M.
There you
go. All right. As always, before we get into the topics of the week, it's time for Larry's favorite part of the show.
Where we whore ourselves out and
pimp it. Bigger whores than anyone in Congress. That's what we do here at the Riot Show. So if you want to follow us on a daily basis, go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/thatriotshow. Go to YouTube, youtube.com, and just search for That Riot Show. We have our channel up there. So also go to iTunes, That Riot Show, Stitcher, player.fm, anywhere quality podcasts can be found. Just go there and search for That Riot Show. And you'll find our ramblings there. Also, the best, I think, to get the true riotous experience, Larry.
Yes.
You have to go to twitter.com/thatriotshow. All one word. twitter.com/thatriotshow. Where you will be treated to the massive amounts of trolling we commit upon unsuspecting outsiders. And, you know, once again, Judo Larry, I think it's hilarious because, like, I'll be trolling some idiot or something about, you know, the shutdown or Obama or communism or whatever. And all of a sudden, you'll find respectable people all of a sudden sneaking in a follow of the Riot Show.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so we've mentioned it before. We've got a lot of political writers that follow the Riot. A lot of political writers from newspapers around the country, from blogs and whatever. A
couple of new ones.
I think the Daily News is one of them here in New York. Their political editor decided to follow us. So, you know, a lot of comedians following the Riot as well. So a small group, about 2,000 people or so right now, hardcore riotous listeners. But a lot of them influential people, Larry.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's
and
pretty
it
good.
Helps us with our pathetic attempt to get back to series.
God. You would think after last week's open pleas and begging that somebody would have heard and called us.
You would think that our groveling would have reached the decency button of
still
somebody.
Getting the bums rush, though. Still getting the cold shoulder from those guys.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, we have to do something. I don't know what it is. We have to do something. Our talent cannot be restrained to podcasting. It can't be limited.
It can't. We're as big as the naked cowboy.
we're much too talented for podcasting. Much too talented.
I actually agree with that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now that we've stopped tickling each other's taints, let's move on to the show.
Actually, let's keep doing it. Just not talk about it.
While the show. Yes. I will reach over across the console here and maybe even swirl your nipples a little bit with my nipples.
Oh, the taser. Yep.
Nipples with nipples. That's next to impossible.
Oh, a nipple to nipples. Cool.
Ew. That's disgusting.
That is super gay.
It's not as hot as two chicks gyrating their nipples up against each other, though.
That's hot, too.
That's hot. Hot, too. I didn't like that little two thrown in at the end. You started to worry me a little bit. That's too much of an international bon vivant, if you ask me.
You have to pay attention when I'm talking. My jokes creep up on you.
Yes. All right, Judo Larry M., let's talk a little bit more about the shutdown, the debt ceiling, all this wonderful nonsense going on in Washington. And we're entering into the, what is this, week two?
This is week two.
Of the shutdown. And Judo Larry M., has your life been negatively affected by the shutdown?
I have to tell you, if they didn't tell me that there was a shutdown going on, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, neither would I. And I mean, honestly,
I think people in our position, meaning gainfully employed, maybe in our age group, we haven't noticed a goddamn thing.
That's because it has no effect on us.
Right, right.
I mean, I'm not going to Yosemite next week, so I mean, you know.
If I have to hear one more time how people are put out by not being able to go to national parks, I can't emphasize this strong enough, ladies and gentlemen. Go fuck yourselves. I don't want to hear that you can't go visit a fucking tree or see a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I grew up in the Bronx. I just don't give a shit. And anybody's pleas to the contrary also don't mean a shit to me.
Yeah.
You can't go to a fucking national park. Go to a local park. Go to a state park.
Go on the internet and look at pictures of Yosemite Park.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you need to travel there? Make alternate plans. Have some fun in your life. What are you, a fucking hippie?
Well, a lot of them are tree huggers, so you can get that.
Oh, Jesus.
Listen, you know, I feel their pain.
But I have to tell you something. Our president and Harry Reid and the rest of them are you know, much like the sequester, it's not like the government shutdown. They're struggling to keep things open. Look, let's not kid ourselves here. Everybody loses in the shutdown politically. I mean, if you look at the polls, and again, I don't put too much stock in polls, but if you do look at the polls, Republicans have never polled lower in terms of their popularity, right, ever. And I'm including like the time with Nixon. It's like they just have, what are they, 28%, something like that?
I don't even think it's that high.
It's really horrible. But people forget, Democrats are at their lows too. They just started out higher. But, I mean, they're like in the 30s, I think. The president is down to the low 40s, meaning people are disgusted with everyone. Nobody is escaping the disgust of the people.
Right.
So for one party or the other to say we're winning it based on popularity is bullshit. Now, the good thing, and tell me if you agree with me, Larry, the good thing about that situation is you get to see what people's true core beliefs are.
Their true colors.
Yeah, because there's nothing to be gained by this politically, I don't think. No. I think people have painted, and yes, Republicans are responsible for initiating this. I'm not gonna front. They're definitely the ones who kicked this into motion.
Right.
But now that we're here, there's no political gain for anyone.
No, it's an across-the-board loser.
Right. And at this point, the first one who blinks is the real loser. So there's no winners, but there could be a real loser. It's the first one who blinks.
Because what's going to happen is eventually they're going to come up with a deal.
Right.
And not only on the shutdown, but also on the debt limit and the ceiling and all that. And then both sides will claim victory.
Right.
That's always the way it works. Nostradamus for
you.
They're all good. They're both going to claim the victory.
But what's interesting to me is the way you see things being approached. So the Republicans wanted to shut down the government, but they're willing to piecemeal parts that you know, appeal to their constituency. Obviously, right? They want to pay the military. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but they want to pay the military. They want to make sure that some national parks are open. Meanwhile, you look at the Democrats. The Democrats are like your ex-girlfriend. They want to make life as miserable as possible for you. Like, and we saw this from Obama during the sequester. In other words, what was the sequester? Like a cut to like 2.5% increase in spending. And they made it as painful as possible. They emptied out the immigration jails.
Right.
They picked things that were not critical, but especially a pain in the ass to cut when they could have cut other fat.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
And they went for ugly things.
Yes. And they made and Obama learned from that. And now during the shutdown, you hear stories like, oh, there's these girls that can't get cancer treatment. Oh, the CDC can't predict where the flu is going. Bullshit. It's like you can cut other
breast cancer was in there. Yeah.
You can cut other shit to minimize the pain. I'm not saying that there wouldn't be some services cut. Obviously, there would be. But there's ways of doing it that minimizes the pain. And Obama, and you know, you hear these, I don't know how much stock you put in, but you hear these whistleblowers that come out and said that their managers were told to make the sequester and the shutdown as painful as possible to the public. You know, like there's that story, the Veterans War Memorial in Washington.
Right.
That has never had a barricade around it ever.
Right.
So when the government was running, like when it shut down at night, they never barricaded it. And I think something like only less than half the time were there actually staffers there manning the memorial. In other words, basically, it's always open. People walk up to it. They do what they got to do, and they leave. It's never been open, shut, guarded, barricaded. The second the shutdown went into effect, what happened? Barricades went up.
Yeah.
There were actually resources assigned to actively keep people away. And of course, they timed it for that big veterans flight where they all flew to Washington, like all the 90-year-olds from World War II and World War I, you know. And it was clearly done politically to be as painful and as embarrassing a result of the shutdown as possible.
Right. Also, the Democrats wanted to show their disdain for not being able to spend money.
Right.
Because this is such a minor little cut.
Right.
But they're just such spending junkies that they just, right. They had to make like a whole parade out of it.
And you know what? Again, I don't know, Judah Laram, do you agree with the shutdown? I think you said last week you didn't, right?
You know what it is? It's not so much that it bothers me that way. It's just that, like you said, look, nobody wins in it.
Right.
It's just more ugliness. It's just more acrimony.
Right.
It shows how dysfunctional we are.
Right.
You have to take into consideration, if you care, that the rest of the world is laughing at you.
Right.
And, I mean, there's a lot of embarrassment over this. I mean, right. I've seen some of the international newspapers, and they're like, well, the U.S. government's right. And we're supposed to be a leader. You're supposed to be a superpower. You can't have stupid things like this. Yes. You just can't.
Well, you know, it's funny, but most people don't realize there's been a shutdown every presidency since 1980.
Yeah.
The only one that didn't, ironically enough, was 2 years under G.W. Bush.
Yeah.
He's the only one who managed to avoid a shutdown. Every other president has dealt with a shutdown of varying lengths. You know, whether it's 5 days, 7 days, 8 days. And most of those tend to be technical shutdowns. You know what I mean? Like the, you know, like a rollover or something like that. But anyway, so what's interesting to me here is that I love the shutdown for two reasons. One, you get to see the split in the Republican Party between people that I consider to be moderates and left-leaning and the true conservative slash libertarians. Not on religious grounds when I say conservatives, but conservatives when it comes to limiting government. So in the Senate, you had 19 Republican senators who voted for the shutdown, in essence, to defund Obamacare. They went along with it. You had the Rand Pauls, the Mike Lees, Rubio's, Ted Cruz, and a couple of other good Republicans.
Right.
In the House, obviously, you've got the Tea Party faction. You've got other fiscally conservative Republicans who are the ones really holding Boehner's feet to the fire. And in the Republican Party, who are the ones who are instantly crying for compromise and negotiation and this and that? In the Senate, it's like the John McCain's of the world. In the House, it's like the John Boehner's of the world, right? This, to me, is very telling. Because I want to see a divorce in the Republican Party.
That's not a good idea.
I know it's not a good idea, but it needs to get done. It needs to get done because the country's going down the shitter, in my opinion. And moderate Republicans who are exactly the same as Democrats are not getting the job done. We lost with McCain. We lost with Romney. Romney runs just as shitty a healthcare system, and it's his shitty healthcare system in Massachusetts, where the quality of health care has decreased every year since that bullshit RomneyCare went into effect.
Right.
I read a statistic that said before RomneyCare, the average wait time for state-run medical care was 33 days on average.
33.
Yeah. Post-RomneyCare, it's climbed up to 55. Think about that. The wait time has gone up 33%.
Yeah,
well, that's fucking unbelievable to me. And how do we view this as being better or more efficient? I don't get it. But anyway, so Republicans like Romney and McCain and to some extent Boehner, this is bullshit. You don't win elections with those guys because you're exactly like the goddamn Democrats. And the Democrats will always have you beat on ways to spend money on stupid shit. So don't be like them. Give the people a clear alternative.
But, wait, in fairness, I don't think the moderate Republicans are Democrats. I mean, I know what you're saying, but I don't agree with that. And I don't think that they're trying to find ways to spend money like the Democrats. They're just trying to...
It's a degree of difference that to me is in the situation the country's in, the degree of difference between moderate Republicans and Democrats is so little as to be meaningless. It really is to me. Like, look at Bush. You know, people say, oh, he was a conservative asshole and shit like that. Honestly... By fiscal, he was not a conservative. He was a liberal. He was a Democrat. You know? So I don't view, I don't view any of that. and it's always been as being good for the Republican Party. So I want to see the divorce. I want to see the party of Rand Paul, Rubio, Cruz, and all these guys, Mike Lee. I want to see that take hold. I want to force the issue. So that's one reason why I think the shutdown is good.
That's not a good idea, because you're going to be a very small minority party. You're never going to be in power. You're never going to get what you want. You're never going to win the presidency.
Well, I want a divorce, or I want them to take over the Republican Party. I prefer taking over the Republican Party. But if we can't do that, we have to have a divorce. And listen, I know it's painful. I know there'll be 4 to 8 years where you're basically conceding every election to Democrats. But look, we had to go through it in the past. The humiliation that Goldwater suffered led to Reagan. Yeah. And it led to the Republicans winning the House for the first time in 40 years in the mid-90s with Gingrich, all right?
But those times were very different.
But I think we need something similar to that.
You have to realize that even Peter King is trying to get this going.
That I can't stand.
I know, but you have to have the government functioning. Don't like it, even if it's a big, fat, sloppy bureaucracy, even if you think Obamacare is the worst piece of shit in the world, the government's got to get back
to But here's the thing. Government, by and large, is not shut down, because anything that's considered essential services is running. Now, you might have some people that are not getting paid right away, accruing or whatever. But the services themselves are still running. I think one of the things that scares Democrats the most is how little effect, honestly, by and large, the sequester and the shutdown have had on American life. It really shows how much waste there is in government.
I agree with.
Yeah, if the worst thing Obama can tell you, and by and large, this is it. If the worst thing anyone can tell you about the shutdown is that people can't visit a fucking national park, go fuck yourself. I read a tweet from the president today that says, retweet if you agree that Republicans should allow the 800,000 furloughed government workers to go back to work. And my response to that is, there's fucking 800,000 government workers? Yeah. Seriously, there's 800,000 of those guys?
I was reading about that the other day. There's 800,000.
Holy shit.
Furloughed, yeah.
Why are there 800,000? And those aren't military people, by the way.
No, not at all. This is just douchey bureaucracy. And
holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, I am an American citizen that's concerned about this. My first reaction is there a way we could trim that down to 400,000?
Right. I was just about to say, we should cut that in half. Yeah.
That's the way I view it. When I look at the sequester, I'm like, a 2% cut you claimed would kill the country?
Yeah.
And people have accepted it. Why? Because you learn, like most of us in our private lives, if you're not earning enough to cover your lifestyle, you change your fucking lifestyle.
Right.
You know, I read something I forget the gentleman's name, from the Cato Institute, where he said if you just limited the growth of spending to 1% a year, 1%, not cut by 1%, limit growth to 1% a year,
right,
that the deficit would be eliminated in 5 years. Think about that.
That's interesting. I'd have to see the numbers on it.
Right. But, yeah. Because he's also projecting that the economy, being in the shitter right now, will get better.
Right. So, I was just about to say, is he projecting a certain amount of growth?
Moderate growth.
Well,
growth, but moderate growth. So if you limit it to 1% growth in spending, if it doesn't take 5 years and it takes 10, is that a bad deal?
No.
Because people aren't suffering with 1% growth. It just means you're not having the government be in everybody's fucking face in life.
Right.
For that period of time.
Yeah.
So what if the government doesn't conduct a study on how roosters fuck at night?
Roosters fuck at night?
I think so. That's a wolf, not a fucking rooster. Can you do a rooster sound?
Are you out of your mind?
I don't know what the fuck that is. But anyway, the point is, and it's a hacky thing, why doesn't spending come under control?
Man.
Look, the debt ceiling. Here's another thing, right?
All
right. You hear Obama make the claim that raising the debt ceiling doesn't put us further into debt. It just lets us pay off our existing debt. That's both true and false.
Yeah, that's somewhat true.
What it does is, raising the debt ceiling doesn't incur any more funded debt.
Right.
What it does do is it increases your unfunded debt. Unfunded debt on the books isn't something that technically raises the deficit.
Right.
But what does it do? It's another IOU you're writing.
Exactly. You're just reaching in. You're writing a piece of paper. IOU and fuck you. Yeah. I'll pay you back.
And then you turn to the guy who counts the dollars and says, "See, I didn't take any more dollars from here."
Right.
So at the end of the day, it's really disingenuous to say it doesn't raise the debt. It's an accounting trick. Okay. But I always see these things. If we don't raise the debt, we won't be able to pay our obligations, which is a constitutional blah, 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 which is bullshit, by the way. It's technically not in the Constitution that you have to raise the debt limit in order to pay your debts. Right? Yeah. The part of the Constitution they're referring to says that the U.S. government has the authority to repay all the debts that it has incurred. Yeah. That's all. So my question to anyone, whether it's Barack Obama or any of these fucking Chris Hayes or Chris Matthews or any one of these numbnuts, John Fugelsang, whatever.
And now Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Why is your only option to raise the debt ceiling? Why isn't your first option, I don't know, let's fucking cut spending? Mm-hmm. And you'll have more money with which to satisfy your obligations? Why is your first thing spend more and borrow more? Yeah. I don't get it.
Tax more. Yeah.
Why? I don't get it.
Yeah, they should be going in the opposite direction. They should be cutting spending.
And by the way,
they should completely reform our tax system
right.
to something that's simpler and would probably generate yeah. more money in the long run.
But step one is forget the tax system because that's for now, forget it. Yeah. But step one is just don't spend as much. Why is this so hard for people to fathom?
Well, when you're in a political party and ideology that's committed
right.
to spending money on programs,
right.
and you're convinced that the spending of money solves those problems,
right.
it's very difficult. I mean, look, one of the things you know from living in this city your whole life
yeah.
is that is the...
New York, by the way.
Yeah, that is the mentality of the people. If you spend money and programs, you're going to get the results. You're going to solve problems.
You're going to get better results.
Yes. But, yeah. I mean, look, you're the stupid guy running for mayor, de Blasio.
Yeah.
One of his big programs right now is to raise taxes just on the rich.
Yeah.
And take it so we can fund pre-K and
right.
other like children's programs.
Another communist indoctrination
yeah, and
of the young.
This is just more stupid bullshit. I mean,
right.
And the rich are not going to sit still for this. Either some will pay, but a lot won't.
Yeah. But what's interesting about is people like that. And by the way, this is why it's not limited to Democrats, in my opinion. This is why I call a lot of moderate Republicans Democrats. You have moderate Republicans who are more than happy to spend that money. They really are. They may not do it to the degree of Democrats, but they're really happy to spend money, especially if it benefits their state. They're really happy to spend money. That's why it's not necessarily limited to Democrats. I don't absolve Republicans of this, and that's why I want to split in the party, or I want the fiscal conservatives to take it over, because we're just as bad. The McCains are just as bad. You know, they're horrible people like that when it comes to fiscal. But the other thing I wanted to say is, when you look at how people diagnose problems, you know what's utterly fascinating to me, Judah Lyman, because I was actually in a debate during the week on this. And someone said, look, you know what the problem is with the health insurance in this country? There's not enough providers. We need more providers to provide more competition, because studies have shown that greater competition yields lower prices.
Drives the
and
prices
I'm like,
down.
Yeah, you're right. It does.
But we have plenty of providers.
And I'm like, but that, why is a liberal, why is a borderline fucking socialist making that point to me? That's like the classic free market argument.
Right.
So,
you point that out?
Well, I engaged with him and I said, well, how is Obamacare solve that problem? By forcing the creation of more providers. That's where we want to get to. And we want to force people to pay into the system. It's a mandate. And I said, okay, so let me understand this. Up until now, we've had government-run programs for everything from Social Security to Medicare to public education, yeah. whatever. Mm. And all of it is a miserable failure. Right? The how many times do we hear Social Security is running out of money?
Right.
How many times do we hear that it's been misappropriated? How many times do we hear it's not keeping up with the number of people who need benefits, that people miscalculated the retirement age,
especially
everything, right?
The
right.
The baby boomers.
When you look at this, all this that's happened,
right?
right? And you correctly diagnose the problem by saying government fucked up. For the most part, liberals diagnose the problem correctly. Somewhere along the line, government fucked up.
Right.
But rather than look at the solution, which would be get government out of it, their solution is always more government.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's not the regulations that were bad. It was the people doing the regulating. So let's get different people to give different regulations to get a different, better result. And I'm like, what makes you think that all of a sudden there's a generation of saints and scholars and philosophers that are ready to run society for us
right.
that haven't existed for the past 250 years in this country?
Right.
What event around Obama has made you all of a sudden have faith in people that didn't exist for the past couple of centuries in this country? Right. Are you out of your fucking mind?
Why are these bureaucrats going to be any right. better than
why is it ones? Like in the, supposedly the left is the intellectual part of politics. They're the smart ones. What was it Einstein said? Repeating the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result is the hallmark of insanity.
Definition of insanity.
What makes you think, like, you know, you talk about the show, you talk, education's the perfect example. We spend more per student in this country than the per capita income of most nations in the world.
Right. And I actually just saw something the other day how poorly we score
and,
against international.
Yeah. And yet no one in this country, no one will tell you that public education has been getting better the last 30 years. No one.
That's a mess.
Right. But when you ask a liberal, how do you make it better? Their answer is spend more money. More bureaucracy.
More programs.
More programs from more centralized control from the federal and state levels. Why isn't the correct answer get government out of education?
Or get the federal government out of it.
The Department of Education should be abolished. It shouldn't even be a cabinet position. Just get rid of that fucking department.
You know what bothers me about the departments? It's not even so much that they have them. I mean, I know a lot of them, commerce, they're useless.
Yes.
But what bothers me is I know that most Democrats support all these things. But if you were to grill them on what these departments do, they have no idea.
None of them do, really.
No, but since they're the ones who support it, by and large, they should know.
Right.
And they don't even know who the secretaries are or who run
them. Yeah, I don't either for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who the hell who's running HUD right now, but, it's amazing.
Yeah, but that's my whole point. I think Milton Friedman said, like, all in all, there should be 5 cabinet positions, you know, like defense, justice, state,
more defense.
That was it, basically. He had like 4 or 5 cabinets, and when you stop and realize how many of them there are,
oh please,
like Department of Energy, get rid of it. Department of Education, get rid of it. Department of the Interior, get rid of
it. They all have undersecretaries and assistants.
Yeah,
and it's like
levels. Department of Energy, who the fuck needs that? What has it produced? What good has it done? Yeah,
you'd be better off having private companies try to
of course
create alternate sources of energy, solar energy, whatever you're into. What's the government going to do for
nothing?
That?
It hasn't done anything ever, period. That's my whole point. So if you're an intellectual, if you're a leftist intellectual, can you explain to me where the new bureaucrats are coming from that you claim will run society so much better? And that's why Obamacare is doomed to failure. You know what I was reading? Valentine's Day 2014 is the day that the IRS will begin to enforce it. Okay. Meaning that that's when the IRS will start reviewing everyone's taxes to make sure that you have declared that you have health care. And if you haven't, then that's when they start penalizing you.
And you know why this is enormously unfair? Because I was reading something earlier today that so far of the people who've tried to sign up.
Oh, it's horrible.
Oh, my God. Only 7% of people have been able to sign up. 40% have said it was a mess. 30% said they don't know enough yet to say it, but their experience was bad.
Right.
So I was reading this one thing, and the guy said so far about 73% have complained about it and said that it's not worth it.
Well,
plus a lot of people who have insurance and aren't paying attention.
What I love is when you hear like Obamacare supporters tell you, well, what do you expect? It's a new system. It just went live. It's a new system. You got to expect bugs. Here's what I say to that. Bullshit. Why? Because a private company that spent three years trying to build something, and then to have it crash day one and like a couple of weeks later,
you should
still
be ready
not
on
being
launch day.
Still not being ready. You know, you think eInsurance.com can't tell you how many people signed up this week?
Yeah,
because that's one of the things Obamacare. We don't know how many people signed up. We can't tell. What do you mean you can't tell? tell me how many people signed up, motherfucker. I know it hasn't been a lot of people because nobody's been able to log on.
Yeah, it's a very small number of people.
Yeah. You know, Netflix can stream movies to every American citizen and every and like half the other rest of the world without any problems. And they did it in less than 3 years. You guys can't figure out how to set up a sign-up form, basically, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
You can't figure it out? You've spent anywhere from, what is it, from 60 to 700 million, depending on who you talk to, for a website that doesn't work? Are you fucking kidding me? Are you the same people who write the missile defense software? What else isn't working?
Yeah.
And you've already saw the reports that the IRS and, confidential information for the few people that have made it through the exchanges has already been shared between governmental agencies.
Yeah. I mean, you have to expect maybe a few things going wrong with it because you're going to get so many hits right away. Yeah. But this level of fuck-ups is amazing.
Yeah.
And the article that I was reading is they don't even know when they're going to be able to solve all this shit.
Well, so, you know, Judah Lariam and, you know, people always, I'm sure people listening to us on a regular basis are like, Big Fat John claims to have worked in a lot of different areas, but you know that I spent a lot of time in the past of my career being basically a software engineer, a programmer.
As a fluffer.
Yeah. You bastard. Very good.
He doesn't talk about that very much.
Yeah, no, that one's in my past and it stays there. My eye.
Young and needed the money. Young and needed the money. Just tell them.
Hey, little boy Blue. He needed the money.
Hey.
But anyway, you know I worked as a software engineer for a while.
And
as a matter of fact, I wrote the online banking program for one of the major banks in this country. So I know a thing or two about writing large, complex programs that take years to develop.
Me much too, like because I go to that bank.
Very good. But my point being is I know a little bit about it. I'm not talking from a point of ignorance here. And let me tell you that after 3 years of development, which is basically what they've had to build this exchange, for them to be at this level of incompetence is inexcusable. Inexcusable, especially when you have limitless funds. Which is, in essence, what any government project has, right?
Yeah.
You run out of money, you just steal it from someone else, or you raise taxes, you put a gun to someone's head. It's not. There's no profit motive, so you don't have to worry about budgets or anything.
Right.
For them to have spent, let's round it to $500 million to build this piece of shit and to not have it work, and you're trying to tell me that you think that's okay, the rest of Obamacare will work? No way. No way.
No, and of course, the other thing is down the line, you have all, you know, right now, 44% of the company,
right.
get 44% of this country gets its health care from private insurance,
right.
like through work.
Right.
It used to be 49% when Obama came into office. Now it's 44%.
Yeah, because people are, employers are smart. Happen. They're dropping people.
Right, and what's going to happen, this is my real concern. I don't give a shit about the websites, to be perfectly honest. What I'm thinking about is, as time goes on, people are just going to be dropped off. And dropped off, and they're going to go to this, and then you've just got everybody hooked,
subsidized,
on it. and they're just going to be on it forever.
Well, that's the ultimate plan.
And where's the money coming from? Well, you notice also when he first started talking about it, he used to say how we were going to save $110 billion. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was his figure. We were going to save $110 billion on Obamacare by like 2020, something like that. You notice he's not pushing that anymore. And you know why? We're not going to save a fucking penny on this.
No, it's going to cost.
It's going to cost, and it's money that we don't have.
Right. But aside from that, it's also training people, because you see all these leftist hippie people who always come up with a sob story. Oh, I know someone who got cancer and died because they didn't have health care. Oh, this person had health care, but the benefits were limited and then they went bankrupt. Listen, they're sad stories. I'm not here to be a callous asshole. I understand that. But when you take an entire country that was 85% covered without government's coercive, intrusive mandating of anything,
right.
Why are you throwing out the 85% that was working? you could probably come up with a scheme that would have worked for the 15% that weren't covered.
Well, that's what I used to say. What you should do is what they should have done is they should come up with a system, and Republicans have to take a hit on this.
Absolutely.
Too, because they were in charge for so long, yeah, and they could have did it the right way.
Right.
And they ignored it because they don't think that this is a big deal.
Right.
And they don't care if people have insurance. Let's face it.
Yeah,
they just
I agree.
I agree. And that's a problem because, as I always said, if they don't do it their way, the other guys are going to do it. And now the other guys have done it. And look how upset they are.
Right.
Did you ever see Boehner when this thing first passed?
He started crying.
He was as red as can be, screaming. Cantor was unhappy. They got nobody to blame but themselves. They had eight years of George Bush. They did nothing.
Yeah,
they got the father in office, nothing. You know, even the Reagan years, they could have done it back then and it would have been cheaper.
Yes.
The big deal here is now that this is it, you know, now it's done. This is it. You're stuck with it now, and it's going to get funded, and it's just going to be this huge fucking entitlement forever. And I mean, you know,
you don't know how sick I am over it. Yeah. I really, and I'm not exaggerating when I say I've been sick over it, because, and I know people are like, oh, you're exaggerating. Listen,
you're sick over it.
Yeah.
Well, then you need Obamacare.
I need Obamacare. Here's the thing. The reason I'm sick over it is, listen, anyone who tells you it works in Canada, it works in England, it works in Cuba, probably has never had a serious illness in those countries.
Exactly.
And also, the wait times and everything. Americans are not patient people. We're, especially this generation, they want instant gratification.
Right.
You know, if you need to have your appendix taken out and you go to the doctor, they'll tell you come back in 3 months. And that's not an exaggeration, folks.
Yeah. Well, right? Look,
it's happening in Massachusetts. You heard the stat from earlier. Right. The average wait time is 55 days. For those of you that don't know, that's 2 months. And that's the average.
Yeah. But I've on this show, I told the story of that woman who lives outside Toronto.
Yeah.
And there's this Canadian, and she works a job, and she got a problem. She needed like a hip replacement or something like that. And she was bedridden because it got so bad that she was bedridden.
Right.
And the healthcare minister for her province told her, we can only do 10 of these operations every year.
Right.
And you're number 30 on the list.
Yeah,
that's
shit.
3 fucking years.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, even if a few people drop off or die or whatever, you're still only 24, 23. So what she did is she flew to Kansas City.
Right.
And even though she had to pay out of her pocket, which was expensive, she got it done. Boom, over the weekend, she's back home.
Right. She's alive.
Yeah. Plus, also, she lost her job at the time because she couldn't go to work.
Yeah. And I hear all these hippies like, well, the rich will always have means, man. Well, yeah, but that you're not going to change that. And then the other thing is, by compelling people to participate, why are young people forced to buy insurance? They're the people who need it the least.
And they don't even care.
Right. And you're already seeing stories because I consult for a medical device company. I won't say which one. Okay?
Boop, boop.
But my point being that they're already making recommendations to people to start getting hip replacements and knee replacements before Obamacare denies that to elderly people. And Obama even slipped. When some woman asked him, will I still be able to get my hip replacement? His answer was, well, it may be the case that you could get by on pain medication instead of having a hip replacement. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because obviously they're not going to spend money on older people. They're going to decide to spend it on younger people who need hip replacements.
Right?
And that's not what this country's about. Right? And you have to understand that insurance works by spreading risk. That's how insurance is able to insure people. Right? But the one thing insurance can't do is ignore that risk. That's why, unfortunately, pre-existing conditions are usually not covered. And if they are covered, they're usually a lot more expensive.
Right.
Right? It's not because they're cruel. It's not because they don't have a heart. It's because if they accepted all those people, they couldn't pay out their claims.
Right.
They would go bankrupt. Why are younger people being forced to pay more under Obamacare when they have the least risk?
Right.
Actuarially speaking, you know, they have the lowest risk. Why are they being forced to pay the most?
Yeah.
It is a perverse form of coercion that mistargets. Like,
but it's also illogical. Obviously, people with the highest risk would have the highest premiums.
Right. But you need to include that among younger people just to get them in the pool. Otherwise, the money doesn't add up. It doesn't add up to begin with, but it adds up even less under that situation. And quality, I don't give a fuck what anybody sits here and tells me, quality will decrease for a lot of reasons.
Right.
One of them, the obvious one, is you're going to have more people in the system. You're not necessarily going to have more doctors. They're going to have less time per patient.
You might not think to see a doctor you want or even
right,
know.
Right.
You just have to go to whoever
you have to go to whatever hack they tell you.
They tell you to.
Right. So that's going to lower it that way. The second thing that a lot of people don't consider is a lot of smart people may not decide to go into medicine because when they see all the regulatory hurdles,
it's not worth
the fact
it.
That they can't earn as much as they could in a free market system, guess what they'll do? They'll go to Wall Street. Or they'll go to a private, some other thing where they put their brain power. You know, they said that Wall Street was responsible for the decline of scientists in the 90s in this country and the 80s. Huh. Because smart kids, when they saw that they could make a ton more money writing derivatives and complicated algorithms for Wall Street,
right,
they chose to go to Wall Street right, instead of going to medical school.
Removing a splinter from your ass wasn't as attractive.
Right, right, right. So that's why you had that situation. So, you know, so in that case, that's another unforeseen consequence of this nonsense, that you are going to be driving smarter kids away from medicine.
That's
because
right,
they won't be able to earn that much. They're still going to have to spend as much to become doctors, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So when they graduate, they'll still have $500,000 in debt, probably, if right, not more.
Yeah.
But now you're telling them you can't earn as much as you can earn? You have to stay within the parameters of whatever fucking Obamacare tells you to do.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. That's how you get mediocrity, folks. Socialistic nonsense
right,
and bullshit. There's a reason why everyone comes here for the highest quality of healthcare. Not to fucking Cuba or Canada or the UK.
Right.
Sorry.
That's what I always tell people. That stuff's good for ordinary stuff. If you need stitches, their
yeah,
systems are
if you,
fine.
If you have anything more than the flu.
If you have something other than a sniffle, you're
yeah,
in a lot of trouble.
You're fucked in the ass hard.
Especially if you get beat up by rabbis
oh,
and,
Jesus,
and their goons.
All right. Hold on, Judah Larium. Give me a second to decompress here. So why don't we move away from the shutdown and the sequester and all this other bullshit and the debt ceiling. Hit me up with a story I could sink my teeth into. Let's talk about something else.
Let's talk about that the FBI says a couple of rabbis plotted to kidnap their husbands and force divorces from them.
What?
Yes, these are rabbis.
Rabbis have husbands?
No, they kidnap the husbands.
The rabbis kidnap husbands?
Kidnap the husbands of these women,
right,
some women, and tried to force divorces from them called a get.
Get what?
Get smart.
What?
No, it's called a get.
Yeah.
And it's even spelled that way.
Yeah.
G-E-T. But what happened is two rabbis are facing kidnapping charges
uh-huh,
for allegedly arranging assaults
oy
on some Orthodox Jewish husbands and persuade them to grant divorces to their wives.
Yeah.
Apparently, the wives paid something like $20,000 or something here to have their husbands roughed up to force a get from them. Because in Orthodox Jewish law, the man has to give the get to the woman so she can be divorced.
So he has to agree to
he
it.
He has to agree to it.
Or else she's stuck.
She's stuck forever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a Big Fat John way of marriage.
So wait a second. There's a whole bunch of Jews running around New York.
Hey, a whole bunch.
Well, you know what I mean. There's a bunch of Jews running around New York.
No, a whole bunch.
Oh, a whole bunch of Jews running around New York that have like these really mean, nasty wives nagging them to death.
He's already turned it off.
And they want, and they have the opportunity to cut these bitches loose. But for some reason, they won't.
They had no plans on divorcing them.
Right.
But the women really wanted out.
So the women take $20,000.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming if this is a religious thing, that there's no such thing as like alimony or anything because there's no courts involved, right? There's
no
court of laws.
No, it even says here it's a derivation of the law is found in Deuteronomy 24, 2.12.
Which dude?
Deuteronomy.
But anyway, all right, so you've got this situation where these guys can be free of their miserable marriages simply by saying get. Right? And instead they've got their women taking $20,000, probably of the husband's hard-earned money.
No doubt.
Paying it to rabbis who, for the life of me, I can't figure being tough guys.
No, that's why they hired goons.
Oh, the rabbis hired goons.
Oh, they hired goons to do it. Oh, yeah, they didn't do it themselves.
What'd they do?
They couldn't beat an egg.
What'd they do?
Well, it says here the FBI says that Rabbi Mendel Epstein.
Oi.
Oi. Talked about. I like how our only standard for you is to say oi.
Yeah.
That's, oh my God. So it says.
Felt the fish.
Epstein talked Locks. About forcing a show about nothing, forcing the divorces to help hire tough guys.
Tough guys.
Who said that they use plastic bags to cover the heads of the husband and electric cattle prods and karate to assault them.
So wait a second. They put a plastic bag over the head. Zap their nuts zap with their a cattle prod.
And they gave them some pussy sabot kicks.
Wow. Can I get a job like that?
You sure can. Roughing up wimpy Jews so they get a divorce from them. That's great.
I love all the stereotypes flying around. Oy, vey, nagging Jewish women, like wimpy Jewish men who can't defend themselves, rabbis.
For those of you who actually care about, these are the Jews that look like ZZ Top. The complaint says Epstein told undercover FBI agents that his organization had kidnapped husbands every 12 to 18 months. Oh, so he's actually been doing this for a while.
Well, Jews are good at business.
There's another one. And they're all the doctors in Obamacare. Yeah.
I'm surprised they're not going to make a movie out of this.
Oh, my God. Sorry, what else does it say here? So it goes on to say, but apparently they didn't get the get.
Now, help me out here, Judo Larium. Are these the Jews that fuck through a sheet?
Yeah, they put the little hole.
Yeah.
And there's no like physical touching. And they look like ZZ Top. And they're always walking across the Brooklyn Bridge.
I don't know, man.
And the best part about them is there's a walking side and a bicycle side. Uh-huh. And they're always on the bicycle side.
I don't know, man. If I had the opportunity to be free of a nagging wife without being on the hook for alimony or any
but
of that shit.
But they don't want the divorces. The women want the divorces.
But that's what I'm saying. Why wouldn't they? Have you seen these women? They're not pleasant to be around.
No, and they all wear wigs.
Yeah. They're not hot at all. I can see with the need for the sheet, in my opinion. But anyway. Oh, man. This is so
racist. I like
how
you already made it nagging wives. You don't even know who's at fault. Johnny Taliban strikes right in the...
Hello, this is Sergeant Slaughter, bitches.
Get a get, your bitches. Get a get.
You know, honestly, this sounds like one of the plot lines from an old Sopranos episode, if you remember. The same situation came up in the Sopranos.
Well, that's where I got that joke from.
Oh,
because
okay.
Soprano grabs one of them when he says he's not going to pay them the money for smacking some guy around, Schmooly or whatever his name is. And he goes, he grabs him by the lapels. He goes, listen, ZZ Top. You give us some fucking money.
I'm just surprised that the rabbis you know what it is? I always make the mistake of equating rabbis to priests or to reverends. You know what I mean? Like I in the Christian thing.
I think they pronounce it Rebbe.
But my point is they're not equivalent.
No, they're not Christians. But God, I mean, you're stupid.
Sorry. I mean their roles are not the same. Like rabbis are really just the equivalent of really scholarly men or lawyers almost.
Yeah, they're all just advisors.
When it comes to Judaic law.
Right.
So they'll study the Talmud and
they
all
know
that.
It backwards and forwards.
Yeah, and they're just the ones, literally they're like administrators or referees.
They're administrators who know how to get around tax law.
Yeah, I don't necessarily view them as spiritual people. And I'm sure there's some guys of the Jewish faith out there that may, you know, that will probably, but I'm saying like, you know how you view a priest as like a Catholic priest, aside from being a pedophile, more than likely is being viewed as a spiritual advisor.
Well,
like, yeah. But like, it seems like these rabbis are really just lawyers.
Well,
like most of them are out banging chicks.
Well, the whole race of lawyers. stop it. Phil?
But I mean, they're out banging chicks. They're hiring hitmen. They're zapping people's nuts.
There's no proof they're banging chicks. The nut zapping and the plastic bags that we know about and the karate.
The karate.
That they teach at the Y.
Is that similar to Jufu? or judo.
Tofu.
Oh, man. We're busting those stereotypes.
Oh, my God. And speaking of criminals.
What's up?
I was recently out in Phoenix, as you know.
Oh, yeah. You had a gig out there.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Which took me to Vegas for a day, which was pretty
nice.
Cool. But while I was out there, I wish everyone could see this. I'm holding up a newspaper.
Yes.
It's actually put out of North Carolina, but it's available in a couple of states. It's called AZ for Arizona, AZ Slammer. And it's just...
Now, you're not saying slam her as in bang a chick hard.
No, this is slammer as in jail. I'm going to start calling you Rabbi Big Fat John with that attitude. So... And I wish everyone could see this. You got to get a copy of the Slammer. It is just hilarious. It is, and this is just people arrested in the greater Phoenix area. And the pictures of them are just frightening.
So wait a second. I mean, this is a newspaper dedicated to recent arrests?
Yeah, just people. Yeah, see,
look, hey, let me look at that thing. Let me look at that thing.
Criminal disorderly conduct and, yes.
Let me, hold on. Let me, wait, what's this on page 4? Holy shit.
What does it say?
This is literally like little mini wanted posters.
Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating. Let me do a quick count here, Judo Larium. 1, 3, 6, 9, 12. It looks like there's about 60 of these little portraits of the ugliest, meanest looking motherfuckers on the planet.
It's all their mugshots.
Holy shit. Look at this guy. Look at this guy right here. Yeah. And to be fair, we're not going to mention race or anything. Oh. But look at this guy. Jamal... Johnson.
Recently cut by the Raiders.
Look at this guy's face. He's like, you arresting me, motherfucker?
Yeah, that face is, I hope you've done your little soliloquy, man. Because I ain't even met the shit.
Oh, dude, we got to put this up on the website or something.
I'm telling you, the Slammer is awesome. How about the guy on the very front page? His whole face is covered with tattoos. You didn't see that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look at that.
Look at this other guy.
Just completely covered with tattoos.
This guy has got his tongue out like Miley Cyrus in that twerking video.
Yeah. Except she has more teeth than he
does. Looks like fucking insane.
Yeah.
Can you imagine like you're walking down an alley?
For those of you who can't
see
it.
And that guy?
He looks like Lamont Sanford. Just with his tongue sticking out.
Well, this is public knowledge. So I guess we could say the names. This guy's name is Antonio Manuel Fernandez. Arrested for driving with a suspended license.
Some of them are nasty, though.
Yeah. Oh. Here goes. Dawn Marie Rowan. Arrested for arson of occupied structure. Holy shit. Yeah. She set fire to a building full of people.
Yeah, sure.
Holy shit.
I'm telling you, this paper is just, it's insane. And like some of the people, they like killed somebody because they like... touch their food. There's what doesn't it say up here? Don't touch my grits or something. Like that?
Keep your mitts off my grits.
Yeah, that's
allegedly said by one of the people arrested. Oh my God!
Yeah, and they have these in a couple of states. But think of this thing: it comes out and they just print like all like just recent arrests. Look how many people it is. How am I fucked up?
Holly Pippen arrested for adult abuse.
Yeah.
What the fuck was she doing? Beating up her grandma or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Holy shit. Yeah. This is fantastic, by the way. I wish people could see this. These mug shots are incredible.
Yeah, get the Slammer. It's only $1.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're crazy people.
Unbelievable. I'm glad you brought this to the attention of the show, Judo Larry. Yeah,
but isn't it hilarious?
It is. I mean,
it's sad. But
yeah,
it's,
I mean, the hilarity of it is lost on the podcast, obviously, because people can't see these pictures. But look at this guy, Jeremy Atherton, arrested for threatening, intimidation with intent to injure or damage, public disorderly conduct, and fighting.
Yeah,
and he's got his mouth open like what?
Yeah.
Holy shit. These guys are mean.
And some of the other, and a lot of them are for drugs.
Like and most of them seem to be for drugs or something related to drugs.
Yeah, that drugs cause somebody to do, yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Well, good find, Judo Larium.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, we should, maybe I'll post that online if I could find it. Maybe I'll post it on our Twitter feed and our Facebook page or something. That would be cool.
Yeah, see, because most of them are just, oh my God, look at this.
Yeah.
The drug use.
Oh, speaking of, I don't mean to cut you off, but yeah. Speaking of, did you hear today what happened to Adrian Peterson's son?
Oh, Jesus, that's
horrible. 2-year-old, I think. Adrian Peterson's son, the NFL star running back, his 2-year-old son, who I guess he's the father, but the mother of the kid was living with a boyfriend, something like that.
She was living with some other guy.
Her live-in boyfriend, I think he was her live-in boyfriend, allegedly took the kid and beat him, a 2-year-old?
Yeah, and killed him.
And basically, the kid was in the hospital, I think, for a day or two, yeah. And then today just passed away. And I know it must happen a lot in this country, but, you know, it's not necessarily that it's a celebrity son or something, but, God damn, how do you continue? I mean, as a parent, I can't imagine continuing after something like that. To have your baby's mother,
I know, but
her boyfriend beat the shit out of your kid.
But that's where my focus goes. What the fuck is wrong with this guy?
I don't know.
How do you do that to a little baby? I mean,
and then ask me why I believe in the death penalty.
Oh, please.
Why do I believe in the death penalty? For this.
For people like this.
I know even libertarians, you know, it's interesting. You know, libertarians are anti-death penalty.
A lot of them are.
Most of them, though, are.
I mean, I'm still in favor.
But I have to tell you, I can't work up any sort of sympathy for true killers.
Yeah.
Like, once it's been established, beyond the shadow of a doubt.
This is sick.
That's what I mean. It's sick. Like
sometimes you hear stories. I mean, not that it's okay to kill him, but sometimes you hear stories like, they were robbing the house and they killed somebody. Or they got in a fight in a bar and they killed somebody. Like, this is a 2-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Even if the kid's screaming and crying at the top of the...
Leave the house.
Leave the house or put in some earplugs.
Something.
Do something other than beating the child. I mean, oh my God.
Yeah, it's not even... I can't even begin to fathom it. It really is upsetting. And I mean, obviously, no one is more upset and more heartbroken, I assume, than the parents of the kid, even though I haven't heard anything about the mother, to be honest with you. I've only heard it from the Adrian Peterson perspective, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's just terrible.
And for people who say, well, the death penalty is immoral and you're only doing it for revenge.
Nah, bullshit.
Yeah, I'm doing it for revenge. Yes.
Well,
Adrian Peterson is entitled to his vengeance on this asshole who killed his kid. A 2-year-old. What the hell could look, I have a son. I raised a son. You know what the worst thing a 2-year-old boy will do to you? He'll accidentally kick you in the nuts. That's it. That's the worst thing that he can do to you.
Or sometimes they just pee like...
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Flagrantly in the air, yeah.
It's like, come on.
Yeah.
There's no justifiable reason whatsoever. I don't care if you were high on drugs. I don't care if you were loaded, drunk, upset at the mother, whatever. Lost money on the Vikings game. Whatever the fuck. What are you going to... You take it out on a 2-year-old? Yes, the death penalty should exist. And yes, it should exist for these people if he's guilty of what they say he is.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's for vengeance. I don't care if it's for revenge.
No.
I don't care if you think it demeans us as people and as a society. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
No good comes from keeping that killer alive.
There are some heinous acts that the death penalty is just the only appropriate thing.
Yes.
The only appropriate thing. Remember when Bush was president, they had those three white guys who were white supremacists. They were out of jail, and they dragged that guy, the black guy, to his death behind a truck. They found his head over there, his body over there, his arm there.
Shit.
How the fuck do you do that to somebody? How the hell do you drive down the road and say, you know what? Let's jump this guy.
For no reason.
Kick his ass. Oh, no, they attacked him for racial reasons.
But it wasn't
we got to take his money. How do you do that and then drag somebody to their death and just like
sit there and
look out the back of the truck while it's happening and just like laugh your ass off? That is why you have to have the death penalty, because there are people like this, and society has the right to say that some acts are just too much.
Yeah, and you know,
societies that have gotten rid of the death penalty, their crime hasn't gone down.
Well, I see, that's the fallacy. Like, I don't buy into the fact that it's a deterrent or not. I think that's a moot point. I really do.
No, but that's always been one of the arguments.
Right,
and that's not true. If you look at a lot of the European countries that have done away with the death penalty, their murder rates are just as bad and high as they've ever been.
Yeah, I mean, even if it were true or not true, I wouldn't even use that for the argument. Here's the only argument I need to know. That murdered person's family has the right to their revenge. They have the right to their justice.
To justice. Yes.
That's what it is, man. And the other thing is, do these people ever really get rehabilitated?
No. No, of course
I'm not talking about someone who's mentally ill. I'm not talking about someone who should have been on medication, didn't have his medication,
went off it,
or he couldn't afford it, and somehow he fell through the ground. Right,
you're talking about sick animals.
I'm talking about someone who kills a fucking 2-year-old
right.
for no reason, apparently.
Right.
And even if he had a reason, it would still be bullshit.
It's a bullshit reason, yeah.
What, the kid woke me up after a long day of work?
Exactly.
He wouldn't stop crying? I had to feed the motherfucker. What? What can you tell me that would make me say, you know what? I could see where you would kill a 2-year-old over that.
There's nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, forget even hitting. Even if you smack. No.
No, I didn't say that. But what I mean is,
because the killing is so extreme.
Exactly. And it's not justifiable in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. So, I mean, that person's going to get rehabilitated? No, that's a fucking insane murderer.
Yeah.
And I don't see the benefit to society of keeping him in prison for the rest of his life.
That's the part that always drives me crazy. I mean, God forbid somebody in my family ever got killed. I would be beside myself knowing that this asshole's alive, in jail, getting meals, working out, maybe watching TV. I'm sure jail's obviously not a pleasant place.
With more rights than you have, basically.
Yeah, but the fact that you get to still live after all this, fuck that.
And for a lot of people, prison experience, I mean, I know we all have this. It depends who you talk to. I've heard people say it's a lot worse than what you see on TV.
Yeah.
And I've heard people say it's nowhere near as bad as what it is on TV.
Well, I've heard it's pretty bad.
I've heard it's bad, too. But then I've heard people say I did my time, and because they weren't murderers, they didn't really have a rough time in jail. You know what I mean? So I guess it's the degree of what you are. But I mean, let's say they had the most horrible prison experience, like that guy Otto in Sons of Anarchy, where someone's ass raping him every morning, and his own tongue was ripped out of his mouth, and he was shivved 20 times. He's still alive. And if I can't even imagine if someone had murdered my son, and especially unjustifiably, and it wasn't an accident or anything like that. I don't know that I would be able. And I'm being honest. I don't know if I would be able to keep myself from not killing him the first opportunity I got.
Right.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, at that point, if it's my only child, I have nothing else to live for, basically. Why would I'm trying not to be too dramatic, but I honestly think I would be capable and willing to kill him personally.
Harm this person.
No, not harm him. Kill him personally the first chance I got, without regard to what happens to me.
No, I understand.
Secondly, given the fact that I couldn't get to him, having him alive in jail, and like you said, working out,
educating
himself,
all those things,
getting 3 meals a day,
3 hots and a cot.
Come on.
Yeah, no, it's fucked up.
And do you know what it costs to keep these assholes on death row, even?
Oh, my God. The incarceration cost is like $100,000 a year.
And I know what people are going to say. There were people wrongfully imprisoned. I was once told by a liberal friend who was a lawyer, you know what my credo is, John? Better everyone go free than, better 10 guilty men go free than 1 innocent man go in jail. And you know what? It would suck if you were the 1 innocent man, but I'm not willing to have 10 guilty people.
Right.
Let me put it this way. If you're willing to have 10 guilty murderers run around free in your apartment building, then I'll believe that bullshit you just spouted me.
Yeah.
Until then, yes, I'm not saying that the 1 innocent person has to be sacrificed. No innocent man should have to be in jail for any amount of time for a crime they didn't commit. But guess what? You have to play the odds, Larry.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to play the odds.
Yeah, I mean, most of those guys are in the slammer. Anyway.
For a reason.
No, the slammer.
The slammer,
for
right.
a dollar.
For a dollar.
Look how big they put it, too.
I know. It's nice. $1, you get to see all these assholes.
The New York slammer. Hasidic Jews.
Oh, and before, I know we were running towards the end of the show, but I have to tell you, you've heard the controversy about the Redskins name, right?
Yes.
How they want to change it and everything. Well, there was, a Native American group, otherwise known as Indians, who took out an ad, and it was actually quite funny. So they had a cap, they had a picture of the Cleveland Indians hat.
Yes.
And right next to it, they said, what if we applied this to other groups? And the next dude, you had the San Francisco Chinaman, and you just had a smiling Chinese guy, like, with the traditional pointy triangular hat.
And
like
the big buck teeth.
Right, asshole. You know, like one of those guys. And right next to
it. Yeah, the New York Jews.
With a big nose.
Yeah, with this schnoz that was beanie. Just sewing the beanie and a big smile on his face, like, give me your money. Yeah.
You know what I did?
What?
I ordered one of those hats.
Did you really?
I said, I want the New York Jews.
Oh, I want to be a Chinaman.
You give me the San Francisco Chinaman hat.
But that's actually not, really not analogous. They're making a mistake. You know what the mistake is? When you name a sports franchise, you're trying to come up with a name that is cool.
Right. It's not meant to be insulting.
C-O-O-L, cool.
Right.
You're trying to come up with something that's marketable.
Right.
Something that maybe represents the area. That's why a lot of times they're birds, they're whatever. You know, something that is emblematic.
Or something that involves warriors or fighting
The point is, something that is cool. Something you can work. Right. Something you can market. Right. You can sell hats and jerseys. And you're not sitting around thinking, well, I got to insult the shit out of people. That's the best way to go. Now, maybe when they came up with Redskins. Who knows? But, I mean, this whole business about that is so stupid. And then what's next? The Fighting Irish?
That's the classic example.
You got this fighting Irish. I mean, there's nobody Irish on the team unless they're black Irish.
Well, I'll be honest with you. My position on it is?
What?
I'm not going to say whether Indians should be insulted or not over those logos.
No, I am.
Honestly, it's their right to be insulted if they feel insulted. I mean. If they think Redskins is a racially derogatory term, or just Indians the way they're portrayed in the Cleveland Indians, or the Braves in Atlanta, or the Seminoles, or the Blackhawks, honestly, that's their right. I'm not going to tell them whether they should be insulted.
I'm going to tell them to fix this still for O'Rourke Enterprises. That's the kind of man I am. F
true. Very good.
Thank you.
But my point being that I'm not going to tell them whether to be insulted or not. I just hate that it's become a political issue. Like, why does Obama have to weigh in on it?
Because he's
a Redskins fan,
No, he's from Chicago. He's not a Redskins fan.
No, but I mean, being the president, traditionally they're Redskins fans, is what I'm trying to say. It's always been that way. Like, they always root for the local team, the Redskins.
He's a Jew. That's right.
Who?
Obama.
He's a Jew?
He could be.
I didn't know that.
He's from Kenya.
Allegedly?
You know that.
There's Kenyan Jews now? Do they run around poking people with sticks to get?
Hey, hail to the Redskins.
Yeah.
That's another thing. You'd lose that wonderful song.
Yeah. Like I said, I know where you're standing. My point is, I couldn't give a shit. I can't get worked up about it one way or another.
Oh,
I'll be honest with you.
This is such a stupid thing.
I agree. But it's not enough for me to take their side to say, change it. And it's not enough for me to say, don't change it. I'm honest.
I don't know. See, that's the other problem. What are they going to be? Washington and Cowies? I mean,
When the St. John's University here in New York was the Redmen, they changed it to the Red Storm.
Which is the worst name ever. That's so stupid, for God's sakes.
I don't know what to say. I mean, like I said, I just can't get invested in it one way or another. But all right, Judo Larry M, I take a look. Whoa, this podcast went into overtime. Gave the fans a lot of extra show this week.
I want everybody to know that every week we come into the show and John and I sit there and go, do we have enough for 1 hour?
Yeah.
And then I always tell him at the end, I said, we probably have enough for two because we're such big mats. Yeah.
Then Larry decides to make me relax by jerking me off.
Well, you used to be a fluffer. So and if you don't let me do it tonight, I'm going to sign that get, son of a bitch. Big Fat John headed for the slammer. Only $1. That's amazing. That is a real gift you have. No,
thank you.
Now I am going to jerk you off.
All right. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, join us again next week right here for the next episode of The Riot. Until that time, this is Big Fat John.
And Judah Larian.
Peace.
Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judah Larian. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice, and I'm not wearing any pants.